but you need to be selective about who you listen to, because they're going to have an impact on you. They're going to influence your life. And you don't have to agree with everything everyone says, but you need to be discerning about what you listen to. Sometimes people are listening to preachers and teachers whose doctrine is not biblical, is not scriptural, is not sound, and it's a concern. You need to be careful because it can influence you.
Who are you letting influence your life? Today, Pastor John will challenge you to think about what messages you're listening to. What pastors are you learning from, and who in your life do you look to for advice and encouragement? Pastor John will urge you to test those voices against Scripture and make sure they speak God's truth, no matter how hard it is to hear. When you have unbiblical influence coming into your ears, your heart may pull you toward that false doctrine and false living. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 as he begins his message, How to Stand in the Last Days.
Paul is writing in chapter 3 about the perilous times. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So everything that we read about in this third chapter is in the context of Paul writing to Timothy to encourage him against last days apostasy, these perilous times. They would be marked by men who would love themselves, verse 2. They would love money. They would, verse 3, be without family love and without love for virtue. They would also love pleasure more than they would love God, verse 4. And then verse 5, they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And then he goes in verse 6 down to verse 9 to talk about the practice of apostates, and even mentions the Jannes and Jambres in verse 8, who had stood Moses, men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. So in the last days, we're going to be facing perilous times. Now, to cut to the chase, we find in our text that Paul is going to tell Timothy there are two things he needs to do to be able to stand in the last days. And that's the two points I want to share with you tonight. What do we need to do to stand against false teachers and heresy and these difficult days, these perilous times that we're going to live in? Basically two things, and they're what Paul tells Timothy. In verses 10 to 13, he tells him to follow his own example. Paul telling Timothy, follow my example. So the point I want to make is that we need to follow true and godly servants. We're all followers. Every one of us are followers. We're all mimics. We're all influenced by other people. When we're younger, we want to be like this person or be like that person. And we, even into adulthood, our lives have been impacted or molded or shaped or influenced by others. So we need to be very, very selective about who we make our heroes and who we follow and who we want to emulate. So Paul is going to set forth himself as a true servant of the Lord and encourage Timothy to follow him. Then in verse 14 down to verse 17, the second thing we need to do to stand in these perilous times, these last days, is we need to be faithful to the Scriptures. And that's really what is going on in this section. Paul is telling Timothy to remember to continue in the things which thou hast learned, and that you've known the Scriptures from the time you were small infant, that are able to make you wise to salvation. Then he makes some important statements about the Scripture being inspired by God and that it is profitable. So two things we need to do, and we're going to look at them. The first we need to is follow the true servant of God. Begin following me at verse 10. Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my patience, my love, my patience, my persecutions, and my afflictions. Now you may be saying, by the way, well, I don't have the word my in my translation, but in the Greek, there is that personal pronoun there, my. Paul is putting a my before every one of these statements. My doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my love, my patience, my persecution. Timothy, you've known me and you're following me, and that's a good thing. Now he says, which came to me in Antioch, verse 11, and Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those are the evil men that are referred to back in the verses 8 and 9 as we saw Jannes and Jambres and the false teachers. Now, notice in verse 10, he says, but thou, speaking to Timothy, and he uses a personal kind of address with emphasis. It's what's called emphatic. So it's like looking right at somebody now, and you're saying, now, I want you to do this. I want your attention. I want your focus. So it's personal and emphatic. So he looks right at Timothy, and he says, but thou. Now, there is an intended contrast with this but in verse 10. Go back to verse 9. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So he just got through talking about in verses 8 and 9, these false teachers, Jannes and Jambres, and it's a sign of the last days. These false teachers were no doubt coming into the church at Ephesus, and we have them today. So now here's the contrast. But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering. So the truth here is that we are to follow true servants of Jesus Christ. When he says, but thou hast fully known, the word fully known there has the idea of you have followed after. The Greek phrase that is used actually means to follow alongside or to follow closely. Now, if you'll think about it, and I thought about it today, there are people that have helped to influence our lives. Maybe it's your parents. I know for me, when I was young, my dad and mom, they loved the Lord. They took me to church. They gave me a godly example. And to this day, they've both gone to heaven. But to this day, I think about the influence that my godly parents have had on my life. They've made an imprint upon my life. So if any way my life is a blessing to you, you owe it to my mom and dad. And it certainly points up the importance of our parental responsibility to train our children in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from that, and to train them in the ways of the Lord so that they will be a blessing to others. But there have been others who have been a great blessing to me and have influenced my life. And that's what Paul is actually saying. You've known fully, and he begins to break it down. We're going to look at that. You've known fully these things that have been true in my life. I think of the influence that Pastor Chuck Smith had on my life when, as a young Christian, I would drive an hour every Sunday night to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I would sit and listen to Chuck expound the Word and teach the Word and shepherd God's flock. And I absorbed it, and I took it in, and I watched his mannerisms. I watched his heart for God's Word. I watched the way he taught the Word. I watched the way he prayed for people and ministered to people. And I've never been to seminary, never been to Bible college, but that was my training, as I watched this man of God, this shepherd who fed the flock of God, as he impacted my life. And then there's been so many others that I've been able to have the influence through their books, and some in some cases through their life. It was my privilege several years ago to spend a few days with Dr. Warren Worsby. We had him come to our church and do a conference for us. He's the author of the popular B series. And today I was thinking about how his books have influenced my life. And then I think of others who have books that have influenced my life as well, but the impact is there. So the point is you need to make sure that you're following the true. You need to make sure that you're following an individual that's truly a Christian and truly setting a godly example. And I want to break it down for you. Notice what Paul says about his life. He says, first of all, it started with this doctrine or my teaching. So Timothy, you know me well, and this is in contrast to the false teachers. You know my true doctrine. You know my teaching. And that's what the word doctrine actually means. So Paul was a teacher of the Word of God. I believe that we need to find good, solid Bible teachers. Quite often people will ask me, you know, is this person okay? Is that person okay? Or should I listen to this or read that book or listen to this person's sermons? And a lot of times I'm concerned about the people that others are listening to. It's not that I'm the only good Bible teacher by any means, but you need to be selective about who you listen to, because they're going to have an impact on you. They're going to influence your life. You don't have to agree with everything everyone says, but you need to be discerning about what you listen to. Sometimes people are listening to preachers and teachers whose doctrine is not biblical, is not scriptural, is not sound, and it's a concern. You need to be careful because it can influence you. So Paul says, the first thing, the top of my list, and the first thing we should look for, and we're going to note the marks of a true servant, is that they have sound doctrine. They have right teaching. They're orthodox. They're biblically sound in what they believe and what they teach. And then flowing out of that, he says, my manner of life. Now, those two always go together. You cannot separate them. You can't say, well, he's a great Bible teacher. He's got sound doctrine, but his life is a mess. And that's something I hear sometimes too. Well, he's a great preacher. He's a great speaker. He's really dynamic. He's really awesome. He's really funny. And I love his sermon. But morally, they're not living a godly life or a holy life. The two go together. It's so very important. The sound doctrine leads to sound living. And so a good, true minister of God is marked by orthodoxy and by living a true godly life. You know, my manner of living, the way I live my life. And then he mentions his purpose. I like that. He doesn't tell us what his purpose is, but if any of you know the Apostle Paul, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul's purpose in life was to preach Christ, amen? To preach the gospel, to glorify God, to fulfill the calling that God has placed upon his life. And he never wavered from that. He never swerved from that. God has given you a calling. God has given you a purpose. And you must not waver from that. You must be faithful to what God has called you to do, what God has called you to be. So you must have right doctrine. Then you secondly must have right living. And then you must have a passion, a purpose. And this kind of motors a man's ministry. What is his purpose? Is his purpose to be popular? Is his purpose to have power? Is his purpose to get rich? Is his purpose to get a name for himself? Or is his purpose the glory of God? If you're going to follow someone that has sound doctrine, lives a godly life, and has a goal and a purpose to glorify and honor God. That's what it's all about. And then notice he says, my faith. This is another mark of a true man of God or a true servant of the Lord. Now the faith there, again, he doesn't delineate what kind of faith, but most likely it's his faith in God and his trusting the Lord. He's not talking about his doctrine here, the faith. He's talking about his faith, his subjective personal trust and belief in God. And this is another element you want when you're picking your heroes and you're picking people to emulate, you're picking people to follow. In another place, Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. You want to follow people who trust God, amen? People who believe God, people who live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not by manipulation, not by scheming, not by trickery, but by faith and trust in God. And then he says, you know, my long suffering. Now, this word actually has the idea of endurance with people. That they're patient with people. And that's another thing you want in a leader. And it's difficult. But this is one of the characteristics of God's agape love. So he was patient and loving with people. He wasn't rude to people. And then notice as well, my love. My King James translation has charity, but it's the Greek word agape or agope, agape love. And because he had love for God and for people, and even for his enemies, he was long-suffering toward others. And then notice he says, my patience. Now, how does patience differ from long-suffering? Long-suffering is patience with people. And patience there, the word is used for being enduring in circumstances. So he's able to put up with people and with circumstances. And that's something you should look for in a leader. And then verse 11, persecutions and afflictions. Now, not many spiritual leaders today can point to their persecutions and their afflictions like Paul did. You know what Paul did to prove that he was a true minister of Jesus Christ? He'd take his shirt off. not to flex his muscles, to show his whippings and his scars and his beatings. Paul would take his shirt off, and he'd been whipped and beaten and scarred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't take out his clergy card and command people to follow him. He would take his shirt off and show the whippings and the scars and the beatings. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then into chapter 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh. You talk about persecutions and afflictions. And by the way, the word persecutions has the idea of to follow after and pursue. In that eighth beatitude, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the idea meant to pursue after, to follow after. So everywhere Paul went, his steps were dogged by people who were following him and trying to persecute him and to have some. Almost everywhere Paul went, there was either a revival or a riot. And if you traveled with Paul, you had to be ready to get arrested, to get beaten, and thrown into prison. Those are the marks of a true minister. He's willing to suffer for the name of Christ. And then the afflictions indicates the physical sufferings and limitations that he had to endure. And I would put alongside that 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, there are 9 characteristics here of a true servant. Their orthodox, their doctrine, their teaching, their manner of living, their purpose is to glorify and honor God and fulfill the ministry that God has called them to. They will not allow themselves to be distracted from that. They live by faith. They trust in the Lord, not in man. They are patient with people and patient with circumstances. They are loving, and they are willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, notice he gets specific in verse 11. He says, Timothy, you know the afflictions and the persecutions that I had to go through in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Now, if you read Acts chapter 13 and 14, you'll read about the persecutions in these places that Paul endured. But this was an area where Timothy was from. The city of Lystra is actually the hometown of Timothy. So he's probably mentioning them because they were the early persecutions of Paul, and they were an area that was localized where Timothy was from, and he knew about them. Now, in Lystra, that's where Paul was stoned for preaching the gospel, and he was dragged out of the city, and the disciples gathered around his body, and they thought he was dead. It's possible he was dead. And they were praying for him, and he stood back up, dusted himself off, and said, let's go back to the city, and let's preach again. Now, I believe that standing in that crowd, looking at Paul's mangled body on the ground, was a young boy by the name of Timothy. And maybe he was holding his mother's hand and his grandmother was there. His grandmother Lois and Eunice's mother. Maybe he was looking at the Apostle Paul. And this is where I believe that God gripped his heart about Paul's purpose, about Paul's life. And there's no one in the Bible that was closer and dearer to the heart of Paul than Timothy. Paul says in Philippians that I have no one like-minded concerning Timothy who will naturally care for your state. That word means of a kindred spirit. He's like-souled. We're of a kindred spirit. We're of a kindred heart. So he says, you remember what I went through in these places. So in Lystra, he was stoned, and no doubt Timothy saw that took place. But notice what he says at the end of verse 11. He says, what persecutions I endured, but, and literally in the Greek it's and, out of them all the Lord, what? Delivered me. You go, wow, that's some deliverance. Stoned and drug out of the city is dead. Some deliverance. He was whipped and beaten and thrown into prison. His feet and hands were in stocks. Some deliverance. He was shipwrecked and bit by a snake and all the things that he endured. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was beaten. But notice Paul says that the Lord delivered me out of them all. He didn't deliver Paul from them all, but he delivered them through them all. So what God does is he doesn't deliver us from them. He doesn't protect us from having any problems or difficulties or any hardships, but he delivers us through them. I've recently finished reading the life story of John Newton, the man who wrote the song amazing grace. And we know that John Newton was a slave trader, and he was on the ship. He was a captain of a ship. And the things that he went through were amazing, just the hardships and the difficulties and, you know, the storms at sea. There were several times when he thought he would die at sea and the trials that he went through. And then I was reminded of that phrase in that song, Amazing Grace, through many trials, dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will what? Lead me home. Isn't that great to know? He doesn't deliver us from trials and snares. He delivers us in them. He never says that things aren't going to be difficult, but he says that I will be with you and I will walk through the fire with you. So Paul says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And then he said, yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that statement, all that will live godly, literally is all that desire to live a godly life. All that desire to live for God and are devoted to God. This is one of the most neglected verses in the Bible, shall suffer persecution. How many of you like to claim that promise? How many of you have that as your life verse? I don't think so. I like stuff like, you know, yeah, I'm with you and I have a perfect plan for you and I want to bless you and stuff like, you know, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Again, we studied it in the Beatitude. If you live a holy and godly life, you are going to come into opposition with the world, right? And the world is going to hate you. Jesus said, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You're going to be tried and tested. Might be family members. Your enemies may be those of your own household. But the question is if you're not being persecuted in any way, any shape, any form, at any time. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to be persecuted to the strongest degree and constantly. It's kind of ebb and flow, and persecution is going to take different forms. But in some shape, some fashion, some way, if you're living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. So you have to say, well, if I'm not being persecuted for anything, at any time, any way, for my faith in Jesus Christ, then maybe I'm not living a godly life. The story is told of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, that he was riding his horse one day and he was concerned because he hadn't had anything thrown at him or anybody shoot at him or yell at him. He hadn't had any persecution for a while. And he was on his horse kind of riding. He got off his horse and he knelt down in the English countryside. And he knelt down to pray, and some ruffian on the other side of a hedge saw Wesley praying on the other side, knew it was the preacher, and he picked up a big brick and he threw it over the hedge, and it just missed Wesley by inches and landed on the ground right next to him. And when he saw that brick just miss him by inches landing on the ground, he said, oh, thank God, it is still well with my soul. He was like concerned, like nobody's thrown a brick at me for a while. What's going on? Maybe I'm not living a godly life. So it is the mark of a godly life that you will suffer persecution.
Persecution is part of the deal for a believer. That may not have been your favorite thing to hear from Pastor John today, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. If you're following Christ with all that you are, someone somewhere is going to voice an opinion that's not of God. It could be multiple people as well. But don't let that scare you away. You have the Holy Spirit on your side to help you fight battles.
Today's teaching with Pastor John Miller was brought to you by Revival Christian Fellowship. Our desire at Revival Radio is to reach as many people with God's Word as possible, and your financial support continues to make this possible. We want to ask you to prayerfully seek the Lord about giving to Revival Radio, so the resources received will be used to expand this ministry's outreach onto more radio stations, like the one you're listening to today. And as the Lord leads you, please be faithful. We appreciate your prayer and financial support. You can give today by visiting our website at revival.tv/give. Again, to support Revival Radio and help us continue this good work, visit revival.tv/give.
Pastor John talked today about following people who are following Christ. And next time on Revival Radio, he'll urge you to follow God's Word too. You can know who to let influence you by how they interpret the Bible. Always take what you hear back to Scripture. And Pastor John will urge you to learn all about God's Word yourself. You can know and trust what's inside, but you won't be able to if you never open it. There's much more to learn from Pastor John's series, Living Faithfully, so we hope you'll tune in again right here on Revival Radio.